This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder.
The mini-sode episode.
The mini-sode of episodes.
It's the tiniest of all episodes, a mini-sode.
Little cute one.
Little ones, where we read you your tiniest emails that you've sent to us.
These are the emails that you send to us with your hometown murder, your, you know, first responder stories, your ghost stories. At this point, it's expanded and it's become this, you know, monstrosity.
It's we love a hidden room.
Hidden rooms.
I'd like to add sinkholes on here.
Sinkholes? What else?
I mean, that's not always the most fascinating. It's usually just a pit of mud, but you could describe it if you want.
That sounds great. Did you get trapped in a sinkhole once?
Have you seen one from a distance?
Great.
Any of it.
Perfect.
The first thing I would like to table on this mini-sode, if I may.
Please.
Did you hear that Meryl Streep is going to be on the next season of Big Little Lies? Did you watch that show?
Yes.
I watched it on the way back from Australia. It got me through the trip back from Australia.
Oh, I love it.
It's so I binged it. So I had that weird binge passion about it. And that just got announced. Like, I just saw it on Twitter.
You couldn't. That the cast was so incredible.
Yeah.
And those women were so on fucking point.
Yeah.
That they couldn't. It's like they picked the perfect person to add into that.
I think the only way it could be more exciting is if she shows up as the sheriff of the town. And she wears live ammunition on her belt.
Okay, we're calling it right now for Karen. Is she going to be the sheriff? Let's find out.
Let's all remember Suzanne Summers' great 80s short-lived sitcom, She's the Sheriff. I think they're rebooting She's the Sheriff as Big Little Lies 2. That's my bet. It's a $500 wager, friendly wager.
Big Little Lies 2, She's the Sheriff.
She's the Sheriff.
Yeah.
Colon, She's the Sheriff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Great.
Perfect.
I'm on board.
Who do you think she's going to be?
The sheriff.
You're on board.
Why
with
would
me?
I argue? Yes. No, I'm not going to think, well, let me tell you what I really think. Because who cares?
I care.
Maybe she'll be the school principal, which sounds really boring. No, they already had one.
Well,
I want her to be the sheriff.
I want her to be the sheriff or the
grandmother.
Grandmother
of Reese Witherspoon. Shaylee Woodley. What if she's the mother of Peter Sarsgaard?
The father of Shailene Woodley's child?
Yes.
Yes.
What if she's the mom and she comes back to destroy because she's like, and I know that that kid's my grandkid too.
Yes.
And she's rich as shit.
She's there to take, oh wait, no.
Oh shit, we just totally fucking.
But wait, isn't Peter Sarsgaard the one that's married to Jake Gyllenhaal, to Maggie Gyllenhaal?
I don't know.
Am I right?
Anything. It's a Sarsgaard, and we saw his dick.
And he was so good at being awful.
He was so good at showing his dick on camera.
You know, we can mute what we just said. And we're back in to say, what an exciting day in show business. Also, the first episode of Baskets premiered last night.
Oh my God, it did?
It did, and I was super, like, stomach ache nervous
to
watch it.
No, I hadn't. Oh my God.
It made me laugh so hard, and there were parts in it that when we were talking about it in the room, Kreisel was a little like, I like this, but I don't know how I'm going to shoot it. And it's just parts with horses, which of course, any animal stuff is really hard. And it looked so good.
It's got to be so weird to see something you talked about as a concept than actually be put into reality.
It's super weird. And it it put me back in touch with, we are all so cavalier about being critical about every single thing we see in all entertainment, where it's like, that's a piece of shit. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's stupid, that's dumb, they should have never made it or whatever. Where like the actual process of making a thing is so hard that the fact that anything is good is a miracle.
Yeah.
It's like, even the most talented people can get short-stopped by weather, by a bad, you know, overlords, all different things.
Yeah, have a bad day and fucking...
just any weird thing. Yeah. So like, yeah, I don't know why I felt so nervous, but it was so
that's
delightful.
A piece of you. I'm so glad. I can't wait to watch it.
Thanks. I just gave Baskets. My own show a good review.
No, it's like one of the fucking best shows. It's so good.
Baskets on FX, 10 p.m. on...
Watch it. Yesterday was Tuesday?
10 p.m. on Tuesday.
There you go.
Yay.
Yay. Do you want to read a hometown or want me to start?
This is pretty good. The subject line is, my mom survived Cleveland in 1978. Greetings and salutations to all humans and animals associated with the MFM brand.
Perfect.
Well done. My sister introduced me to your podcast 6 months ago. Ever since, I've been nothing but binge listening, laughing out loud at work, and checking every closet in my apartment when I get home at night. I grew up outside Cleveland, as did both my parents, and my mother worked at a convenience store in Willowick, Ohio, called Lawson's, when she was in her early 20s. That could be Willowick. It could be Willowick. It could be
offer all of them.
Willowick. Willowick. One night in 1978, she was closing up the store with her coworker Bonnie, because it was 1978.
Bonnie.
Everyone's name was Bonnie.
Why aren't there Bonnies anymore?
There is a Bonnie Conover who I went to grammar school with, and she still lives in Petaluma, and we talk to each other on Twitter.
But she's had that name forever. I want a new Bonnie.
She's the original. Oh, you want a new baby Bonnie?
I want like a Bonnie that was born in the 2000s.
If you have a Bonnie born in the 2000s, we'd love to see a picture of her.
Yeah. Even if it's a dog. A bunny. A bunny named Bonnie?
Oh, also, we love pictures of bunnies.
A bunny named Bonnie.
If you have a picture of a bunny named Bonnie that's one of those really big ones, that's like the size of
it's
a
like
sixth grader.
Not a rabbit.
So actually we just want the one picture.
Yeah.
Bonnie the bunny, that's huge.
Please. That's gotta be a hashtag.
Okay. Okay, so Bonnie and the mom are at the Willowick Lawson's.
Okay.
They're closing up when two men come in wearing black trash bags from head to toe. My mom says that she initially thought it was two neighborhood teens that would come in from time to time to trying to play a prank on them.
Cute.
Because it was 1978. One of the men was holding a revolver and ordered my mom and Bonnie to open the register and safe and then lay down face down on the floor with their hands at their sides. They emptied the cash register and then stepped over the women to get to the safe. The whole time my mom was silent while Bonnie was hysterically praying out loud.
Oh, Bonnie, keep it down.
Bonnie, be cool. At some point said quietly to my mom that she was, quote, glad she had already mopped the floor. Just handle it like a Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie. Handling it like a Bonnie is a new one.
They stayed like that until they heard another customer come in asking if anyone was in the store. Apparently, the two men had left out the back exit while the ladies were up front laying on the recently mopped floor. The police were called, but as far as my mom can remember, no one was ever arrested for the robbery. She and Bonnie got a whopping $25 each from Lawson's.
What?
Because they SSD jammed during the incident. $97 today in today's money. Lauren.
Wow.
That's
Lawson's
hilarious.
Give them the full $100.
Lawson's. They really took one for you. They took one for the team.
$25. I think nowadays maybe she's in Los Angeles, but I think there's like a victim of a violent crime fund that you like, because I knew a girl who got held up at gunpoint at like a salon she worked at. She was a receptionist and she was closing up and got held up at gunpoint and like got all this money. And she was just like, I'm traumatized, so I don't know what to do with this. It feels wrong.
Oh,
you know?
Well, yeah, everything about that would be so hard because you lived and it's okay, but then it's not okay.
But I think she used it to go to beauty school and then became a talented hair stylist herself.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good for her.
I mean, bad things are seeds that bear fruit into good things. What?
good fruit, you know.
That good fruit.
Yeah.
Grapefruit. The best fruit.
great grapefruit.
The greatest.
Eat it with Bonnie.
That is a very 70s fruit.
grapefruit
with a maraschino cherry in the center. Come on, dieters.
Well, here's another gas station one. I survived because I had to pee. Dear Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and Cache of Critters.
Nice.
I'm not sure if you're all doing I Survive stories, but who could resist one where a pea-sized bladder saves the day? Back in my mid-20s, I had a construction job where I ran a crew of 15 guys where we traveled all over and were in a different city or state every couple of weeks. As the leader of this motley crew, I was responsible to arrive at our hotels ahead of time to make sure that the hotel had enough rooms, blah, 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 blah. I spent many hours in my car alone, crisscrossing the states, usually on the same highways. As a precaution to stay sexy and not get murdered, I tried to make stops at the same places as often as I could so I know my surroundings. On this particular day, I pulled into one of my usual gas stations and made my typical run to the restroom. I had a sense of something not being right. Lots of cars with no people in sight, but my urgency was so great, I ignored it. I plowed through the front doors, and as I turned towards the corridor that led to the restrooms, I heard a man yell, "Stop right there!" I didn't even acknowledge him and kept going.
Yes, yes. Let me break in just to say, just because someone's yelling doesn't mean you have to respond or be a part of it in any way.
Yes.
Yelling can also mean get the fuck out of there.
Yes.
Okay.
He yelled stop again and replied, and I replied with a fuck you as I entered the locked door. It entered and locked the door. As I dropped my pants with much relief, and when I suddenly heard pounding on the restroom door and heard that same voice yelling at me to come out. Once again, I responded with a fuck you. I hurried up, and when I finished the door, opened the door, only to find myself face to face with an angry man who pointed a gun straight in my face. He grabbed my arm, forcing me in front of him, and told me to walk to the front of the store. Well, that sense of something not being right was actually me walking smack dab into the middle of an armed robbery at the gas station. And all the customers and employees, except the one, were being held in the back room with one employee opening the cash registers as I burst into the door.
Oh, shit.
Fear not, as this has a happy ending, obviously, since I'm the one sending this tale to you. As the robber was distracted, trying to round me up, the clerk behind the counter had time to hit the silent alarm, and as luck would have it, there were police nearby. As the robber forced me to the front of the store, we were met with four policemen pointing guns, and dude gave up without a fight. His accomplice decided to rob the gas station with he and his accomplice decided to rob the gas station with empty guns. Okay. After giving my statement to the police and receiving some free snacks and drinks, I was on my way and on to more adventures. Oh, and by the way, while I was at this job, I survived 5 hotel fires, staying at a haunted hotel reminiscent of The Shining, almost sliding off the side of a mountain during an ice storm, almost being dumped and crushed in a garbage truck while dumpster diving, and trudging through 12 inches of snow on crutches.
What?
Proud to be a murderino, Nicole.
Fuck, Nicole. That was so enjoyable. I'm so into... We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. When people yell across a room at you and you just are like, not doing that.
I don't need to respond to your urgency.
Yeah. I used to do that when you hang out with comics, as you know, too. When you hang out with comics, they like to do across the room bits a lot of the time. It's like, if there's more than 8 comics at a bar, people start yelling within 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And anytime anyone's done that to me, I yell back, I don't do room bits. Like, don't yell across this fucking bar.
Because you want people to know what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Listen, and your emergency is not my emergency. So if it's your emergency, you can come over and tell me.
Well, and also, she had to pee, which is priority number one.
We've all been there.
You have to do it. And if you, yeah, you can't just control people with your voice. Also, what a great, like, just a drop of chaos in the middle of what they thought, like, this will be our perfectly planned robbery.
And this girl just fucking runs in. What's in?
She's like, this doesn't feel right. Anyway,
I have to pee. I've fucking been there, man. I get it. You never ask a gas station if you can pee. You just go straight for it.
Now I've recovered memory of when you disappeared in that store. God, that scared me.
That's what I was thinking about the whole time. Okay, go.
Okay, this is good. Making my mugger cry. So, Karen, Georgia, Animal Associates, and Steven.
Perfect.
That's awesome. 2 years ago, I was coming home just past midnight. I only have street parking, but I lucked out and got the parking space right in front of my house, so I felt perfectly safe. Mm-hmm. I unlocked my door, went inside, dropped my keys, complete with pepper spray on the table. and turned to shut the door behind me. Mm. Suddenly, there was a very large man standing there. I threw my body against the door, trying to slam it shut, but I needed to stop and just say, you shut that door. Yeah. What? You don't walk in and put things down and then shut the door.
Same thing with getting in the car. As I'm closing the door for my car, my finger is on the lock button.
Yeah.
Like, don't sit down, put your seatbelts on, start the car, lock the door. Like, as you sit in your car seat, give a car lock. Seat. Are you a baby? Lock the fucking door.
Belt yourself in. Yeah. Put in a pacifier.
Get a sippy cup. Get your sippy cup and your Cheerios.
Yep. Gotta have it.
But lock the door first.
Lock that door, baby. Okay. So I threw my body against the door, trying to slam it shut, but he forced his way in, breaking the door in the process.
God.
He said, hey, bitch, threw me to the ground. Sorry.
Why is that so funny?
It's so casual.
Hey, bitch.
What if he said, hey, bitch? Hey, bitch. Get on the ground, threw me to the ground and ripped the purse off my shoulder. My boyfriend was asleep upstairs, so I started screaming his name. The man quickly fled, jumped into an SUV on the street and drove off. My boyfriend called 911 and told them what happened. He hung up and said, you forgot to give them our address. You forgot to give them our address. Before the sentence was out of my mouth, the cops were banging on our door. Yay, nice. Cops. I pointed in the direction the car had driven. One car raced off in that direction while two more officers stayed with me. When I told them what happened, the police officers looked at each other and said, that's him. Apparently several women in my neighborhood had been followed, called bitches, and robbed.
What?
My calm, quick thinking boyfriend got out his laptop and pulled up Find My iPhone.
Oh shit.
Four of us huddled around watching the little dot move around the map while the police officers radioed directions to the other patrol car.
Oh my God.
Good move, boyfriend. Yeah. At one point, I said, I can't believe he hasn't turned the phone off yet. An officer said, oh, he's an idiot, ma'am. They're all idiots.
Oh my God.
Amazing. The robber led the police to his house where he was arrested. I was then driven in the back of a police car to his house to identify him. I can't imagine that it's normal police procedure to take victims to their attacker's home, but hey, it works for me. While I waited in the back seat, the four other police cars on the scene all shone the spotlights into his eyes so that he could not see me. Cool. And I identified him. Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
During the arrest, he'd somehow lost his shirt, and I said, yes, that's him, but he had a shirt on before. I believe a recording of this was playing during court proceedings. I didn't know I was being recorded at the time. The police told me that they couldn't find my cell phone and they were going to have to get a search warrant to go into his house. I told them repeatedly, my purse has two pockets. It's in the front pocket. They finally gave me back my purse. Immediately, I pulled out the phone from the front pocket. The detectives around me reacted like I just performed some magic trick and were completely shocked that the phone was in my purse.
Oh my God.
They called out to the other officer. She found it, who then ran over all excited to see where it was hidden. Who then ran over to all excited to see where it had been hidden in the very office front pocket where I said it was. The police asked me to check my purse to see if anything is missing. I had cash in my wallet, but that was gone. I wasn't sure how much it had been. An officer went over to the other car where the attacker was being held, came back and said, well, we found $40 in his pocket. Why don't you keep it?
Oh my God.
I can't say for sure, but I might have been made a profit out of the situation. In the end, I learned three important things. Keep your pepper spray in your hand until the door is locked. Mm. Good. Shout a man's name instead of help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever need to hide something from the police, put it in the most obvious section of your purse. In the end, my attacker was sentenced to 4 years. Wow. For the assault of me and other women. The prosecutor texted me during his sentencing to tell me he was crying. Oh man.
Oh my God.
Don't do the crime if you can't not cry in court.
Oh God.
SSDGM Laura.
Wow, Laura.
That was awesome, Laura.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Jesus.
Hey, bitch.
Hey, bitch.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
Okay, this is called My Father, a killer serving 3 life sentences.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and all the adorable furry friends. I love your podcast, and I'm going to be at the show in Cleveland. I've been debating about writing in for a while. I am both a first responder murderino. I've been a paramedic for about 6 years, and I also have a few hometown murders. The most important hometown murder I can share, though, is my father. My father was an abusive alcoholic most of my childhood, and I guess you could say we have been estranged since I was a teenager. A few years ago, my mom got a call from one of the local sheriff's deputies asking if she knew anything about one of his old acquaintances who had gone missing more than 10 years ago, which led to this crazy ass story.
Oh, shit.
In June 2012, my father, Michael, along with his wife, Amanda, shot and killed 3 people at their home in West Virginia. He attempted to hide the bodies unsuccessfully. Apparently, he and his wife got into a fight about this. Can't imagine why. So he decided to make a run for it, and she called the police. He went to prison and is serving 3 life sentences plus 40 years. She's also serving time for her involvement. I think maybe 50 years, but I don't remember exactly. Here's where it gets crazier. While in prison, he decided to confess to some other murders here in Ohio.
Whoa.
He confessed to the murder of an acquaintance, hence why the sheriff called my mother. They brought him back here, dug up the guy's body, tried my dad, and he got another life sentence and shipped back to West Virginia to serve his 4 life sentences. I've enclosed the links to the stories if you're interested. Also, we have some good recent murders here in Cleveland, including a survivor story, Ariel Castro and the kidnapped girls, and Anthony Sowell, the Cleveland Strangler. Can't wait to see you guys, Jessica.
Wow, Jessica.
Can you imagine your dad serving 4 life terms for murder?
That's so much.
I know.
That's wow.
I'm so fat. Did you read the interview with the BTK's daughter?
I think I may have seen, was it like in People?
Yeah.
Or one of those kind of magazines?
Yeah, she's kind of just starting to talk a little bit.
Yeah.
About how insane it is.
It's so
awful. I'm fascinated by that. And anyone who's like, yeah, the realization that one of your parents could do something like that is.
But I think it's also a good maybe, you know, you aren't your parents.
And right.
You're not responsible. They're different people.
Totally.
And I mean, I feel like I just switched into what would my therapist say?
Yeah.
Mode of like,
it's not you.
It's not you. And as awful as it is,
It's not a reflection.
It's not fair to you to put yourself through anything if that's a thing you're carrying around, because life is short enough.
Yeah.
And that's his burden. Like, he's carrying all of that.
It's not a reflection of you. And it's also not any indication that you're any kind of person, good or bad, or like anything like that. But I wonder if it's like, yeah, I hated my dad all my life. He's a fucking asshole and alcoholic. And it's like, oh, that was justified because he's a fucking murderer. Yeah. I was not incorrect.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like the people who get older and you're like, oh, you hate your parents. It's like, no, my dad's a murderer. It makes sense.
And sounds like maybe a sociopath.
Yeah.
And like really not a healthy brain.
Right. Not a good dad.
God.
Well, Jessica.
You know, there's Jessica. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That was a big share.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think of, you know, the smiley face killer's daughter had a series on like one of the ID-ish kind of channels.
Uh-huh.
Because she would go and meet family members of serial killers.
Oh my God.
And talk to them about how it impacted their life.
I have to watch that.
It's good. It's, you know, it's heavy though. It's like, it doesn't have any of the kind of distraction of true crime stories.
Right.
It's as if it's all the family interview part of the true crime story, which to me is usually the heaviest, saddest part.
Definitely.
There's no fun Murder, She Wrote mystery part about it.
But it's, or like at the end, no, like they started a fund for the victim under her name, under the victim's name, and that they're working to help people. It's like, you're the serial killer's family.
Right.
It's not the same.
Although it may have, I mean, I can't think of anything offhand, but like, that they could have had the same reaction as the victim's family had of like, you know, I'll go help people.
Oh, definitely.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Isn't it always what big things do to you? It just like, better go do something about
it. The only thing you can do is try to do something positive.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
Send yours to, yes, we're taking survivor stories, especially if they're funny and about you peeing and telling a robber to fuck off. Especially.
Hey, you, come over here.
Can you imagine?
Fuck off.
I just love that it's a girl, too. When I first started reading over that, I was like, well, of course this guy like ran away from a, you know. And then
also because she ran a construction crew of 15 dudes.
Totally. Like, what was going through that robber's mind as this little girl runs from him? Fuck you. Like, what? He probably thought she was going back to like save everyone or something.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
It's my favorite story.
It's very fun.
Yeah. So send them to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye.
Goodbye. Elvis. Where is he? Elvis. Hi. It's your time to shine. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. Oh, I nailed it.